Welcome to this month's installment of Author Audio, brought to you by Quality Progress Magazine and ASQ, the global voice of quality. My name is Mark Edmond. I'm the associate editor of Quality Progress. This month, I'm speaking with John Casey, the author of October 2013's cover story, 5S Shakeup. In the article, John focused on the systemic root cause on why 5S sometimes fails. John is a Senior Director of Supplier Performance Management at Honeywell Aerospace in Tempe, Arizona. Thanks for taking a few minutes and joining us today to offer some highlights, John.
Yeah, thanks very much, Mark.
So I like to start these interviews off by asking the authors to give a little more background, more detail on where they're coming from. Tell listeners about your job at Honeywell Aerospace and how you arrived there, some of the basic responsibilities you have today.
Okay. I started Honeywell Aerospace about 2 years ago, coming in out of the automotive industry. I spent about 30-some years at General Motors, a handful of years at Chrysler and at Toyota. And the activity that aerospace was really interested in was trying to achieve automotive levels of quality that have kind of dissipated out of the aerospace industry. The automotives, when you take a look at first-time yields, significant quality practices, implementation of quality discipline, lean, black belt training is very, very advanced, as driven by the competition from the Japanese specifically, and now all the other manufacturers, Korea, Europe, America. And so the level of execution going on in the auto industry is significantly improved over that of aerospace. So a couple of years ago, I was asked to look at coming over to Aero and try to be a conduit of transformation to help the suppliers to Honeywell Aerospace adopt many of the successful practices from auto. In my background, I've been the chairman of the ASQ Automotive Division. I've been the chairman of the AIAG Quality Steering Committee, which is an automotive industry action group that focuses on common practices across the supply chain, and I've written a book on error-proofing called Strategic Error-Proofing. So I come from a little bit of background of how the automotives work. One of the things that is of tremendous interest to the aerospace industry is obtaining productivity improvements and quality improvements at the same time. So when we started working on the concept of 5S, we noticed that many American companies would get started at 5S and they put, mark things on the floors and have places for everything and try to, retain everything in its place. But there was an awful lot of atrophy from the suppliers or in a manufacturing company to let it drift back to where it was. And so we were trying to solve that problem, Mark.
Back up a little bit. You worked for Honeywell Aerospace. The story in Quality Progress this month deals with its relationship with standard grinding and manufacturing. So describe that partnership and what was happening. But what was happening and what was being addressed?
Standard Grinding is a company in the Chicago, Illinois area that ships products into Honeywell. One of the things to improve their operation for both quality and productivity was getting everything in place and keeping it that way. And there have been multiple attempts at standard grinding to put 5S into practice on the factory floor, and all of which had fell apart like 4 to 6 months later. Kurt Oswald, one of the supply development engineers that works for Honeywell in the Chicago area, began talking with Standard Grinding about the gap that they had in terms of starting in the wrong place. When you start in an American culture with sort, shine, and set in order, Americans tend to see that accomplishment as a tremendous activity, and they fail to take the steps that really keep it, which is standardization and systematization. In the article, you see that we told taught Standard Grinding how to look at it from a system point of view. Asked them to begin with the standard, setting the standard of what they were expected, which is management's role. Additionally, how management can then drive and measure orderliness on the factory floor as step number two. After that, once they had their expectations or the requirements defined so that if people would know them, the people also knew how to get measured. Then they started the sort, set in order, and sweep and set in order. And that process has caused them to retain the gains that they've had for a very long period of time, and as a matter of fact, expanded.
And you talked a little bit about this before before we started the interview. The difference in culture between Americans and Japanese, and how that came into play with what you were trying to talk to Standard Grinding about, and how to look at 5S in a different way. Go over that a little bit for listeners now.
Okay, when I worked for Toyota in the new United Motor Manufacturing joint venture with General Motors back in the 90s, or late 80s actually, they were teaching us 5S. And in the Japanese culture, it is very commonplace, it's very normal to think system and standards. They're brought up that way in terms of their training and in their schooling. They enjoy being part of a system, where North Americans tend to be a little bit more individualist, and they will come up with their own ways. And standardization happens to be a very foreign concept to the normal way an American would think, or North American would think. If you look at some examples, in the Japanese culture, land is sparse. In the American culture, land is plentiful. If you look at storage industries, there's places that you can rent a storage facility, and they're all over the place in North America. That's a concept that is absolutely foreign to the Japanese culture, because they just don't have the space. And so they have to make decisions, and they have to keep things small, they have to keep waste down, and they don't have a lot of surplus, which is counter to the American way of thinking. In the 5S process, half the problem that we had to battle inside a North American company is the pack rat syndrome. People will clutch onto things, they'll hang onto things, they'll put it away. There's always extra box that they can put it in, or a storage room that they can get, which is counter to the culture of the Japanese.
What did it take to convince Standard Grinding that this was the way to go? What was their reaction to this approach, to kind of reteaching them this approach?
Well, the people at Standard Grinding were seeking a way to implement the gains that they've been wanting to find on their factory floor. They had made a number of previous attempts at 5S, none of which worked. When we proposed the concept of you got to start with the standard and the differences in the culture, they said, that is right. So if we, when the management saw they had a role to define the standards of how much they wanted for every operator to have, how they wanted to lay out the factory floor, as well as how they were going to measure it, all of a sudden things became very natural, and management understood their role, and so did the people on the floor. And it was when that realization and the logic came forward, that's when they bought into it, and that's when they gave it a try.
Can you point to some actual results?
Yeah. Standard Grinding has a shipping and receiving department that has a high frequency and flow of materials coming in and out of the building at the same time. The people in Standard had tendencies to lose boxes of material because they'd be placed off to the side, or somebody would have a hot shipment or just a normal hot shipment that would bump a part that was just under normal flow. So the normal part, since they needed the space, they'd put it over on the side and work the hot one, but then they'd forget where they put the normal box. And it was disruptions to their operation, finding material, disruptions to their customers with late deliveries was the problem that they really wanted to solve. After the implementation of 5S in the shipping and receiving department, the number of misses went almost down to nothing, because there was a place for everything, the material was flowing, and there were weeks at a time when the loss of material in the shipping department was cut to zero.
And that's impressive. I mean, you can't overlook something that seems as simple as that, but it really makes a difference to your customers.
Tremendous difference.
What are some
tremendous difference to your customers, and tremendous difference to your operators as well?
What are some helpful hints then to keep the gains alive?
To keep it sustaining, the key is you start in an area and you use it as a pilot, and you show the people in the area that they have control over what it is that they can do within the lines and the guidelines that the management establishes. Once that's done, you need to have other people from other departments who are suffering from similar kinds of inefficiencies due to clutter make requests to convert. Now, in order to make the conversion occur successfully, there normally is an ambassador from the one department that was the first place that was revised, the person that says, man, we really got this benefit, and they almost become an evangelist for the idea to the other departments. The other departments will always have someone in there that wants to rearrange their workplace and get to permanence, and so when you marry those two people together such that they can build on each other's energy, that's really where a lot of the gains can accelerate.
Well, we've just scratched the surface of this case study that is being presented in the October issue, and I want to thank you for taking just a few minutes to start to give readers a taste of this article.
You're welcome.
So again,
you can help.
Okay. Again, you can find the feature article 5S Shakeup in October 2013's Quality Progress magazine, or online at www.qualityprogress.com. This is Mark Edmond of Quality Progress magazine. Thanks for listening.